Therefore, that auditing, which expands the space of a preclear, is one way to put it, of course, is very good. That auditing, which increases his ability to handle masses, is very good. But above these things, that auditing, which immediately addresses the idea of tolerating viewpoints, becomes itself optimum auditing. If you would have your preclear come on up the line rapidly and readily, he would come on up the line simply on the basis of tolerating more and more viewpoints, being able to like more and more people, being more willing to be other people. And the more willing he is to be other people, the less he has to be them. You'll very often find an individual compelled to be father. He doesn't want to be father. That's why he's being father. And so he is less and less compelled to be father as he is more and more able to tolerate viewpoints of father. So we have this first and foremost process in Scientology is change the fellow's mind. First thing you've got to change his mind about quite often is change his mind about his ability to change his mind. And the entire consideration here is whether or not an individual can change his mind. Now, he may be so anxious to change the mind of something else that we have an immediate consideration with the preclear. He may be so anxious to change the attention or mind of something else, and he's still carrying a picture of it, that he doesn't change his own mind. He merely concentrates on some tertiary, third echelon object. Now, you're an auditor. I'll call this to your attention, Ken. You're an auditor, and you're sitting there auditing a preclear. Well, you want to make darn sure that you're auditing a preclear before you go very far with this case. Are you auditing a preclear, or are you auditing somebody who was auditing something else? Now, that's something that you would only consult, really, if your case wasn't showing rapid progress. Case wasn't showing rapid progress? Why, you would just say, well, I'm not auditing this guy. I'm auditing somebody who was auditing something. So no matter what process you used of these various processes we have today, no matter which of these processes you used, let's get into the thought pattern that none of these processes will work on the preclear if you're not auditing him. It sounds like one of these horrible simplicities, but nothing's going to work on a preclear you're not auditing. And if you're auditing the preclear who is auditing something else, like an energy ridge or something out in front of him or back of him, or if he's auditing his stomach, you're auditing the preclear and the preclear is auditing his stomach. You say to him, be 3 feet back of your head, and he mutters to his stomach, be 3 feet back of your head, and then wonders why his stomach isn't 3 feet back of the body or something. I mean, it's quite dim to him. He doesn't even readily recognize what he's doing, but you as an auditor had better recognize it, because a case will hang fire for a long time this way. So let's find out if we're auditing the preclear rather than auditing somebody who was auditing something else. How do we resolve this if we suddenly discover that we're auditing a preclear who was auditing something else? Well, we discover it first and foremost by the failure of processes. That's the first way we discover it. We'd give him a few processes and we got no real communication change or anything of the sort. Well, don't find fault with yourself or the way you're holding your the little finger of your right hand as you give the commands. It isn't your form that is at fault. It is not the process which is at fault. The only thing which would be at fault there is you did not observe it more readily, which you were auditing somebody who was auditing something else. The remedy for it is quite simple. Even if only in terms of concepts, even if only the giving him the idea, you know, he maybe couldn't get a mock-up or anything like this. But preferably, with mock-up and creative processing, you simply have him audit whatever he appears to be auditing. And you have him give it, if possible, opening procedure. If he can make it do opening procedure, this is magnificent. This is wonderful. So the first thing you would do when you discovered that your processes weren't working readily upon some preclear would be to discover what the devil he was auditing. And you would simply assume that he was auditing something, and you would Your discovery of it would merely be the discovery that he was doing this. You wouldn't have to know what part of the body he was auditing or what he was auditing, or what shadow or chimera in his past he was trying to drill through this and that. You wouldn't have to know these things. You just have him get the idea of auditing something, and if possible, get a mock-up of something like his body or something, and audit it. You audit him and make him audit it. Now, you're just keying out an auditing machine. That's all you're doing. This comes under the heading of machine processing. When we speak of machines, we really mean machines. Preclears have them around tucked away in the oddest places. They look like Linotype typewriters and so forth. Quite interesting. Bric-a-brac. But just bric-a-brac. I look like radio sets and all sorts of things, and he's just rigged up a flock of postulates, you see, in order to do something automatically for him. Well, he's got an auditing machine there, and what you do is key that out. Just key it out. Bing. How do you key out any machine you find your preclear's got? By the way, never go in for just knocking out machinery. I mean, it's too limited a process. It'd be a better process to make a preclear tolerate machinery. Tolerate the viewpoint of machinery. Tolerate the effort of machinery. It's noise, it's clatter, it's this and that. You just said, what machines could you look at? You'd get further, by the way, except in this little special case of what's the auditing. You'd get further by simply saying, well, now, just name some machines you wouldn't mind looking at. If you just did that as a process, you would do more for machine processing than is generally done. But there is a rule of thumb about all automaticities. A rule of thumb. You key it out by getting the preclear to do what the automatic object is doing. Any automaticity will key out by introducing into its functions the self-determinism of the individual, in other words. Any case will clear up if you introduce into the case the self-determinism of the individual. And don't think that's any less in any part of the case. Any machine he has will key out by introducing his self-determinism into that machine. In other words, you've made him tolerate, and let's get it on the basis of tolerance, you've made him tolerate the operation of a gimmick known as a self-auditor. See? He wouldn't mind a self-auditor. Up to this time, he's saying, the hell with these self-auditors. You know, he's kind of resisting it and going on auditing something that he doesn't know he's doing. He's running on some kind of an automaticity. Well, if you just ask him to audit whatever this was, he would take over the function of the machine. The rule of thumb is to key out any automaticity, render it null and void, is only necessary to have the preclear take over and perform the function of the automaticity itself. That's all you need to do. This gives him a tolerance of the action of the automaticity, and as such, the automaticity will blow out. So you make him audit something. You make him do exactly what he's doing. And that's a very good rule in all auditing. If all else forsakes you, you make the preclear do exactly what he's doing. And you have entered self-determinism into the action and performance of his conduct or his thinking. And just by entering that self-determinism into it, you will key out the worst part of it. He will change his mind about it. Let's say your preclear was rolling all over the floor, and you couldn't seem to get him to do anything but roll all over the floor. Well, then, by golly, you better have him roll all over the floor. And all of a sudden, he'll stop rolling all over the floor. A person is only ravingly insane because they so thoroughly object to being ravingly insane. If you had them dramatized being ravingly insane, they would get sane. Because you've entered self-determinism into an automaticity in which they've been in conflict. Now, let's get the biggest booby trap right here that was planted in this society. If you start doing something, you're liable to keep on doing it. That's the booby trap. Don't pretend that you're sick. You're liable to get sick. Don't pretend that you're crazy. You're liable to be crazy. That's what this society tells you, and possibly that's what your mother told you, and that's what a lot of people told you. If you start to do something, you're liable to keep right on doing it. Anything you start to do will eventually go out of control. This is not true. So far from truth is it that it is a direct barricade across a road to freedom. So an individual goes and does something. Well, if he does this thing, he will only suffer repercussions from it. If he suddenly says, that's bad, I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm not going to have anything to do with that, I'm going to fight it, Here he goes. But of course, a society couldn't function at all unless it was capable of imposing irrational conduct, such as be good, on all of its citizens. Being good is probably irrational conduct. Particularly if we look around and find out who's defining good in this society. Now, where we have any automaticity carrying forward, it is only necessary to de-intensify it, to introduce self-determinism into it. In other words, second, we'd have find that the preacher's got a certain kind of a machine. Now let's have him do the operation of the machine. If he has a machine, let's say, that makes his right ear twitch, let's make him make his right ear twitch. And let's make him twitch at a different rate than the ear is twitching finally. And then let's just make him make the ear twitch. And the ear doesn't twitch anymore. He's cut out that automaticity. Now, don't ever let me find any auditor present who finds himself incapable in the face of some automatic tick or hiccups or obsessive thinking or conduct. If you know that law, don't ever let me find you unable in that direction, because that is too easy to do. An individual thinks all the time about his past. The immediate answer to you as an auditor to get over a compulsion or an obsession, which is this marked in order to get the case on the line and get the fellow up the line, your immediate answer, you have nothing else to do. You have an immediate choice. And of all the choices there are, you've certainly got this one. You can do lots of things, but all you have to do is make this individual think obsessively about his past. And you only have to do it maybe for a couple, 3 minutes. And this obsession, which has been ruining him for 2 decades, is gone. The only reason he is thinking obsessively about his past is because it's another determinism thinking about his past. And as long as that thinkingness is other determined, he will continue to think about his past because he doesn't take control of the thinkingness about his past. All he does is sit there and worry about the fact that he's thinking about his past. So you'd have him worry about thinking about his past, or just have him think about his past. All right, now let's think about your past. Now let's think about 1935. Now let's think about 1936. Now let's think about 1937. Now let's think about being murdered, butchered, raped, burned, divorced, or insulted. And, yes. Well, what the heck am I doing this for? Is his reaction. You get a quick blow-up of these things. Now, some little time ago, I got a letter saying that so-and-so had just been down to see an auditor who sure should have known better. He hadn't picked that up. That's why I'm stressing it for this unit. I'd been down to see this auditor to remove a tick of one eye. And I was interested enough to correspond back and discover what the auditor had done for this tick. Well, he hadn't done anything for this tick one way or the other, and so I asked the auditor what he'd done for the tick. I was incredulous this whole time, you see, because this auditor had been trained in automaticity and randomity and so forth. He'd been trained in this. He was never trained in anything. And it never occurred to him to make the person have his eye tick. Now, you can be as incredulous as I am. This person's been trained in this, and he's being asked to cure an eye tick, and it never occurs to him at any time to make the fellow introduce self-determinism into ticking eyes. You'd say, the guy's hopeless. No, he wasn't hopeless. He got to come back here for a couple of weeks. Now, here's the problem. In any case, is that what the case is doing isn't being done self-determinedly, so the case is worried about it. The case is basically worried about not being self-determined. Now, what's this got to do with processes? I told you I was going to tell you about processes, didn't I? Well, I'm afraid I've just told you about processes. If you only knew that about human behavior, that an individual compulsively or obsessively did things only because they were continuing to fight and deny self-determinism, or take responsibility for these compulsionist obsessions. Why, if you knew that, and if you knew that all you had to do to get them over such a thing is make them be that compulsive and obsessive about the thing on a self-determined basis, there it goes. Now, we've got tolerance of viewpoints, tolerance of action. Second, we've introduced tolerance of viewpoint, tolerance of action in the thing. Boom, it's gone. You see that clearly? All right. Now, the one thing the individual doesn't want to do, above all other things, then, is assume various view and action points. You're getting his expressed manifestation if you observe that an individual only fights those things which he isn't doing self-determinedly, then he must be abandoning a flock of viewpoints, mustn't he? Huh? Well, let's make him reassume viewpoints. And let's make him reassume viewpoints, or just assume viewpoints rather than reassume them. Reassume them and assume them. In the mildest possible way, upsetting his own self-determinism the least, and we'll win. That's actually all there is to auditing. You'll find somebody auditing himself. When you start to audit him, you're auditing somebody who goes on auditing himself. Let's introduce some self-determinism into it. That's all. Let's have him simply, overtly take over the auditing of some part of him, or some idea, or something of the sort. Let's make him do it. Let's make him audit something. Put it through opening procedure or something. And you'll find out, in a very short space of time, the individual feels much better about it. If it takes him a long time to do this, well, that's just an index of the fact he's having an awful time with his case, that's all. Now, supposing we found the individual totally incapable of disobeying orders. Totally incapable of obeying orders. That's the first thing you have to get, you know, before you can get him to disobey orders with a free heart. An individual has to learn how to obey orders before he can learn how to disobey orders. It's necessary for him to learn how to disobey orders because all through life, the world is telling him, be dead, be dead, be dead. He'd better learn how to disobey orders. That's an order, isn't it? Mothers, fathers, teachers, police, they're saying, stop motion, quieter, slower. Stop motion, quieter, slower. In other words, be dead, be dead, be dead. All right, so he'd better learn how to disobey orders. Well, the first step toward learning how to disobey orders is obey orders. Why? Because he's negating against obeying orders. So you better make him obey orders. This takes over the self-determinism, you see, of obeying orders. That's all. Makes obedience of orders a self-determined function. That's why you make him obey orders. All right? And when you're in the process of trying to get him to be a little more self-determined and obey your orders, you know, that's more self-determined than he is ordinarily. Obeying your order is more self-determined than he routinely, usually is. You know, that's upscale. All right, and we find this individual is incapable of obeying any of your orders. You know, you tell him to go to the right and he goes to the left. And you tell him to touch his foot and he sort of tries to touch his head first and so forth. Well, you're on the second inversion, aren't you? Well, it's very simple. With the usual run of pre-clear, you have to make him obey orders so that then you can make him disobey orders. In this case, you have to make him disobey orders so that you can bring him around to obeying orders. He's on a second inversion. He just plowed down that deep. What do you have him do? Then you just have him self-determinedly receive an order and do something else. You say, all right, now every time when I tell you to go to the right and so forth, why, you receive that as a command and then change your mind and decide to go to the left. And when I say, raise your hand up, then you change your mind and put your hand down. See, and we just do this as a routine fashion. We self-determinedly have him arrange the command. Well, he was doing it automatically before. There was some little gimmick in there that was a machine that made it dangerous, you see. Actually, direction reversal comes about solely from the formulas of communication itself. An individual is faced by people who are talking to him. Eventually, if he's overcome by people talking to him, he will eventually get a direction reversal. This is rather simple. The person will be on him backwards, in other words. Well, we've got a machine of this character, and when we say, you found out, by the way, when you said, all right, now run a concept or do this or think that or something or other, well, he did something else, you know. He wasn't obeying the order. We've got him on the disobedience echelon, so let's make him consciously, self-determinedly disobey orders. And then he'll come up to a point where he'll obey orders. And after he's been audited for a while, obeying orders, obeying orders, obeying orders, he's self-determinedly obeyed enough proper orders to a point where he is perfectly free to disobey orders without any rancor whatsoever. And that moment he's well. He can look an order right straight in the teeth and do something else. You know, with perfect happiness about the whole thing. No compulsion or obsession about feeling guilty or he should have done it or anything of the sort. That's about the neatest test of clear there is. Well, again, we have merely introduced self-determinism into the automaticities of the preclear. We have again made him capable of directing his attention, haven't we? Directing and maintaining his attention. We have made it possible for him to selectively, on his own determinism, put his attention on things and take it off things. We have changed his ability to change his mind to an ability to change his mind. We've changed his ability to change his mind from an inability to change his mind to an ability to change his mind. And when we've done all that, why, we've done about all there is you can do, regardless of exteriorization or interiorization. All right? Therefore, your understanding of the case should be broad in the realization that the case is doing, on one inversion or another, something he doesn't want to do. He's sitting in the chair. This is obviously something he doesn't want to do. If this case is having terrible time, if this case is in awful shape, the last thing in the world he wants to do is sit in that auditing chair. Why don't you cure him of it? Have him go to the door, come in, say, I want to be audited, and sit down in the auditing chair. Just have him do this several times, you know. The fellow sit in the chair comfortably. He doesn't sit in the chair fighting you and fighting himself and so forth. He'll think after a while, you know, this is kind of idiotic, the kind of games you play, your ideas, and so forth. I had a fellow one time, I couldn't get any place with him with auditing because he insulted me all the time. So I just had him sit there and insult me and insult himself and insult the walls. I didn't have him go into apathy about this. You know, I didn't do it on the basis of punishment. Now, if you ran it too short a time, it would appear that you were doing it as a punishment mechanism because you'll find his tone will decline at first. His tone will go down, he'll get more apathetic, and then finally he'll laugh about it. Well, make sure you carry it on through to where he's bright about it, not necessarily laughing about it, but he's perfectly relieved about it. You play your game and those peculiar ideas of yours, in other words, until he's relaxed, not just to the point where he feels he's being punished. That's the first thing he's willing to assume about you, is that you're trying to punish him. Of course, for some auditors, he's probably right. But now, the list of procedures which you should be very conversant with, in which you should change very willingly one procedure to another, as it might appear effective, are as follows. 1, SOP 8C. 2, SOP 8D as itself, and SOP 8D with an entire wheel. Very effective procedure. Viewpoint, straight wire, combined with B have and do straight wire. Oh, you ought to know that one cold. Because that's a lot of process, believe me. And you should know how to do a grand tour. How to spot spots in space and remedy havingness. That's just a process, you know. Spot a spot in space, remedy some havingness. Spot a spot in space, remedy some havingness. I don't care in what form it is. You should be able to do that just as a process. You should be able to start, stop, and change avalanches as a process. You know, run avalanches as a process. You should be able to do change in space processing just as a process. And oddly enough, for patch-ups, you'd better know reach and withdraw from various interested objects as a process, because it's a sure way of getting your preclear's attention off of things that you can't seem to get him off of one way or the other. For instance, reach and withdraw, we had a case here that kept talking about a certain auditing session that he had experienced, actually. One of the ways to take the tension off that auditing session would simply make him reach and withdraw from where he was toward the auditing room. This has an application in real life, too. An individual who has a compulsion to go to a certain area. He doesn't have to go there. All he has to do is stay where he is and reach and withdraw for it a few times. The compulsion will vanish. What you're doing there, you're just duplicating what the thetan ordinarily does, which is reach and withdraw. And you're putting it on a self-determined basis, so you take away the compulsion. Now, additional processes. You should know, just for the curiosa in it, and because you'll find preclear suddenly snapping into this, beingness processing, just as such. And then you ought to know the drills incident to turning on a thetan's perceptions and rehabilitating his ability to handle bodies and build universes, which we call 8-0, and which has never been very thoroughly codified, because it's a very loose process. That's why it's never been codified. But you did understand that his theory is to return to the Thetan all those abilities which the Thetan would have as a body. Give to the Thetan all the abilities the body has. That's 8-0. And more. Really, he'll pick up more ability than the body has. Now, that's a list of processes. Now, that isn't very much to ask an auditor to know how to use, is it? You ought to know those processes well enough so that you don't have to look at a sheet of paper in order to audit a preclear. There's nothing caves in the confidence of a preclear like an auditor reading the process off of a piece of paper. Believe me, nothing caves a preclear in as fast. They're very easy to memorize. Very easy to memorize. They're not long or arduous. And as you use these processes, you, of course, choose amongst them and change them one process for another as told to do so by the communication lag of the preclear. Right? We use any of these processes I just mentioned, fast or slow, whichever they are, and we use one for a while and we get no communication change. The communication lag of the preclear does not get longer, it does not get shorter. The preclear's state of perception remains about the same, his attitude toward existence remains about the same, it's just swapped to another process. How can I tell you how to do this beyond just if he doesn't change, and if you're not going in the direction you think you ought to be going, just shift to another of those processes which I just mentioned. Now, I don't mean to another process of the thousands of existing processes there are. I mean just shift amongst that little group of processes I just gave him, one to another. If you find that this isn't working with him, or if that particular question isn't doing anything for him, know then, change. Now, don't particularly either depend upon an E-meter. Depend more upon your own information and knowledge of communication lag. Watch his communication lag and depend upon that rather than depending upon any other thing. If you know these processes and you know enough to shift them when they are not doing as much change as they should be doing at the moment, you know a process could be very effective for 20 minutes and then reduce in its effectiveness for some reason or another, and the fellow's communication lag stay right there is a pretty fair lag for the next half hour. Oh, you've just wasted a half an hour of processing. If a fellow's communication lag does not change every 3 minutes, change the process. Or change your position in the process, rather. You see that? And if the process itself just doesn't seem to be working on this case as a whole, by golly, change the whole process to another one of the list I gave you. And when you get an effective process, stay with it as long as you get communication changes. If you know all this about auditing, you're a wise man.